superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
For the onside kick, Zuerlein dribbles it to the left, hadn't gone 10 yards.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Atlanta just let it roll, and it went 10, and the Cowboys have the football.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Kyler Murray, a 22-yard run.
Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning, Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. Still to come from NBC Sports, Mike Tirico. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Eli Manning was in hour number one. You've heard of him. Steve Keim, the Cardinals general manager of the 0-2 Arizona Cardinals. And Michael Irvin joined us to talk about the 1-1. Could have been so close to 0-2 Dallas Cowboys, who next up have the Seattle Seahawks after the Seahawks. What an exhilarating finish to the weekend of sports, not just on NBC, but just an exhilarating finish. At one point during the Sunday night game, I just look down at my phone and I see an update that the Nuggets are up by one with 30 seconds to go on the Lakers. And I just flipped over and I watched that buzzer beater. And that was amazing. And it's like, all right, back to Alan Chris. It was truly one of those typical sort of about the NBA. All you need to see is the last 30 seconds. But you also missed Anthony Davis scored the last 10 and what Jokic scored the last 11 for the Nuggets. It was a heck of a finish that I did watch later on. But what an incredible finish that was to all that. But in terms of the weekend itself, Bryson DeChambeau taking the U.S. Open, and then we saw what happened in week two of the NFL. And to discuss all of that is our compadre and my longtime friend from ESPN back in the day, now NBC Sports, Mike Tirico. How are you, Mike?
Hi, Mr. Rich. How are we doing, bud?
I'm well. So did you wing it up from Wingfoot or hightail it to Connecticut for Sunday night? Is that what your Sunday was all about, Mike?
I did. I guess that would be a never before done and never to be done again, you would think, because the NFL season and the U.S. Open are usually
right
in the same week. So I was hosting and in the booth for Thursday, Friday, then hosting on NBC on Saturday and Sunday. So we got on the air at noon. So did that for 4 hours. Then right after the leaders went through the par 3/10th, I hopped in a car, about 35 minutes up to the studio. It was pretty cool. We had that setup where we watch all 9 games, and it was 10 yesterday, in the early window in our screening room in Connecticut at our studio when we're doing football night with Tony Dungy and Chris Sims and Rodney Harrison and our whole production group. We actually got a feed of that into my booth at the golf.
Fantastic.
So we had the U.S. Open on. We were hosting, and I was watching the 9 of the 1 o'clock games. It was an overload afternoon, but it was great. And then went up there, did the football night show, and then did halftime with Tony. So it was a fun, exhausting, but one of those once-in-a-lifetime days.
Yeah, I guess. Pretty cool.
You get to host a major and Sunday night football pregame and halftime all in about 8 hours.
That's amazing. And I guess to put it all together, Greg Zuerlein's onside kick read like one of those putts where you know you just have to hit it 10 feet and let the break take it the rest of the way. It sort of looked like exactly like that.
Collinsworth said that. Chris Collinsworth. I have to specify which one now.
Yes,
Chris
right.
said that during the game, that it was like a Wingfoot putt. It just kept turning and turning and turning. It was a pretty neat deal. It was just so strange. It's funny because we were talking about how the onside kicks rarely get recovered anymore, and the reigning king of the onside kicks right now, Younghoe Koh, was on the opposite sideline because he got 2 in one game that we did last year on Thanksgiving with Atlanta. And so we were joking in our screening room last week, like, well, they got Younghoe Koh, they'll recover an onside kick, and they did. So he's the king of that, and then Dallas pulls that one off with great creativity and goes on to win the game, which is amazing stuff.
I know. And then next up is Seattle. And then, but before we do continue on with football a little bit here, let's start with the first part of your Sunday. It's been a long time since somebody won a major, and we start wondering what it means for the sport entirely. I mean, like Tiger might be the last one that where you're wondering, like, what does it mean the way that he plays for everything and everyone else? Is that too much to say about what Bryson DeChambeau did this weekend, or accurate, Mike?
No, it shakes the foundation of it to have self-examination. Now, let's be candid. Cameron Champ hits it a long way. Matthew Wolff hits it a long way. Still the best guys in the world, like John Rahm and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, all hit it a really long way, and so has Rory McIlroy. But Bryson has gone about this in a very unique and calculated way that I think, Rich, will have at least an examination of how people go about getting themselves to the top of the sport. So Bryson, if you look back, and we showed the video of him winning the U.S. Amateur 5 years ago, his body's completely different. He has bulked up. He put on weight before the pandemic and after. He put on muscle. He's a physics major from SMU. And, Rich, he's gone about this in a very scientific way. And his feeling is that I'm just going to hit as far as anybody. I'm just going to keep hitting it farther and farther and farther and take it out to the max length of driver is his next goal. Take it out to a 48-inch length driver. Figure out how it can come up with a swing that is repeatable. And just hit it as far down as possible and hit a wedge onto the green. Most folks thought it wouldn't work. It worked. He was the only guy under par by a wide margin at the U.S. Open. So this will definitely have folks thinking about golf course design, approach to golf course. Does the ball go too far? Should I just bulk up and hit it as far as I can? All of those things will be seriously examined by the people in the sport in various levels.
Yeah, I mean, but you still got to put it in the cup, right? I mean, you still got to hit it in the right spot and put it in the cup and get it done.
Rich, there's a part B to hitting it as far as anybody else, okay? The part B is with Bryson, all of his clubs are one length. All the shafts are six-iron length, all the irons at least. So his feeling is that he just turns himself into almost a human breathing machine where it's the same swing with the same length club, but the loft of the club is obviously different as you go down through the different irons. And he feels like it becomes more repeatable because it's that one thing. When he putts, he looks very uncomfortable when he's putting. But you'll see he will, like, really fidget with the line on the ball. He gets it on the right line, and he just feels like he hits it back a certain distance and forward a certain difference with his back swing and his through swing on his putting. He's the guy who, when it became legal to keep the flag in the hole, he doesn't do it on some downhill putts because there's a different weight of the pin itself at the Masters and with the U.S. Open uses and the PGA Tour. So, like, he's factored in everything of everything of everything of everything. And he's turned it into a science experiment, which still requires physical execution.
Right.
And he does it. And, you know, some will look, and I candidly, a few years ago, I was like, oh, this is a little too much. I think a lot of us, and I got changed in mind talking to him at length over the last year or so, a lot of us are starting to open our eyes and say, maybe this is the best way to go. So good for him for changing the game and giving people something to think about and look at.
Before we move on from this, I mean, one of the comments from Roger Maltby over the weekend, I have it right here in front of it because it really leapt out at me when I heard it and he said it during the broadcast. Right. He said, quote, every part of me wants to not like this. That you just reduce the game to power and the fairway becomes less important, especially at the U.S. Open. That's just not the way it's been done. But this is impressive, and he's convincing me that he's not wrong in the way that he's assessed how to play the game now. So I ask you, Mike, what are they thinking, do you think, at Augusta after watching that? What do you think's going on now?
That will be fascinating. As you said, you still got to chip it, putt it, put the ball in the hole, and he did out of the thick rough. There's almost no rough, nothing even close to the U.S. Open at Augusta. So the question is, will he be able to handle the greens? Usually if you handle the greens at Wingfoot West, it gives you a chance to be in that same position at Augusta. I think so highly of Roger. He's one of my favorite people I've got a chance to work with and be around. I thought that was really eye-opening because Roger came up through a time when he played a certain way and covered 20 U.S. Opens for NBC and has seen the way that it's always been gone about. But golf has often been resistant to change, and to open your eyes and see that maybe, even if this isn't the way I think it should be done, it is the way it can be done, is refreshing. Look, here I don't want to go too far down this road, but sure. You mentioned Tiger before.
Yep.
Rich, we thought Tiger would bring minorities to golf, and there are some more involved. What Tiger really did was he brought great athletes to golf. Like, it became cool to be Dustin Johnson, you know, who's kind of like, you know, NBA type body, right? And 6'3", or, you know, or a pitcher or a first baseman or something like that. And Dustin Johnson's a golfer. And so is Brooks Koepka. And so are all these guys who are really, really terrific athletes. Tiger made golf really cool. And I think that's the longer impact. The physical conditioning, the weight training, the athleticism, the Nike golf is cool, all that. So I think that's what Tiger's impact on the next generation of golfers was. And now Bryson DeChambeau is just taking that to, hey, let's go hit it far. Go hit it as far as you can. And who doesn't like to get up on the tee and just hit as hard as you can and see how far you can hit it? The difference is,
yeah,
you still got to get it in the hole. Like
you do. You do.
You figure out a way to do both.
I know. I mean, trust me, if all I had to do is go hit the weight room and learn how to get that green wedge in Trivial Pursuit, like I never could, you know, like, you know, could I slice some strokes off my game? I still have to execute. You know what I mean? You still got to swing and you still got to get in the hole, you know?
And so what would you do? So I was thinking about that today.
Yes.
I mean, what would you do? So could you, if you don't want to make it just a who can drive it farther contest, here's what you could do.
Yes.
Leave the bunkers where they are. So bunkers are 300, 310. You got to fly it over or stay short of them. When it gets past 310, the fairway gets more narrow. That's fine. Well, you could put the worst rough on the golf course in the landing area at 330, 340 and beyond. It's okay. You want to hit it 400 yards, 390, 380, whatever that number is going to be, great. You got to hit it in the fairway. If you don't hit it in the fairway, you're going to be hitting out of 7 inches of rough that's impossible to hit it out of. That doesn't impact the guy who's hitting it 295, 300, 310. Yet if you're hitting it 360, 370, 380 off a tee, which is obscene to think about, on those holes, you better hit it dead solid perfect. Otherwise, you're going to be in the worst rough possible, and you're not going to be able to get it on the green within 30 or 40 feet. That's the way you can respond. But this is it. Look, people want to see him hit the next shot, and that's what brings people to TV. You want to see, is Aaron Rodgers going to make that unbelievable throw again? Is Tiger going to make the shot we've never seen before? Will LeBron do that? Well, now with DeChambeau, you want to watch him. Can he hit a 375? Can he hit a 380? Yeah, I want to see it. And that's good for the sport, and just in terms of entertainment and level of interest, I think.
Mike Tirico here on the Rich Eisen Show. The storyline through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, with apologies to those playing in Monday Night Football, would be what,
mm-hmm.
Mike?
Well, you know, up until yesterday, it was, I can't believe that this is happening.
I know, right?
They've been able to figure out the system and all that. And then as I was sitting, we're on the air with the open, and you're watching guys get hurt. There was like that hour where, like, okay, just nobody play for the next 15 minutes.
Right.
We get past this hour where everybody's getting hurt. It was just awful.
Right.
Like you'd say, no, not another one. No, not another 49. That was really disappointing. We've had weeks like that, week twos like that in the league in the past. But yesterday just felt even more raw for whatever reason. You know, Rich, that Cam and Bill are a fit.
That
Brady still doesn't look normal in Tampa and pewter and all that stuff, but
right.
he's there, and it's working out. It's working out pretty well. I think the quarterbacks, Rich, the Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, all these guys, Kyler Murray, they're the same thing I talked about with DeChambeau. Like, I want the next snap to come because they're going to do something stupid. Like what Mahomes did on that pass to Tyreek Hill, that was the touchdown, was crazy. Only doubled down with the 2-point conversion right after that, which I still don't know how he saw that open.
I know.
So the game is really fun right now, isn't it?
Oh, 1,000,000%. Kyler Murray is like, get your popcorn ready. Literally every snap, and
yes.
You know, and you never know, and how he can run and how he can throw. And again, that's but your point again with Cam. and Bill being a match. You know what I mean? Like, that to me, because I honestly still think it's the Bills' division to lose, and Josh Allen's playing out of his mind as well, if you want to talk about quarterbacks that you can't wait for the next snap.
Absolutely.
You know, but the fact that Cam, we're wondering, well, what's the Cam that we're seeing? Because the fact that Cam was still sitting at home in the middle of the summer is still such a head-scratcher. And you could even say, well, what type of Cam are you getting with the foot and the shoulder and all of that business? And the fact that 2015 Cam has shown up in New England for Brady, I mean, for Belichick and McDaniels to game right. plan with, that is a significant development. Well, that's significant.
I agree. Now, there are a couple of levels of the Cam thing. You know, where, and I watch Russell Wilson. I think Russell is the godfather of this. Or Aaron Rodgers was when Aaron was running more.
Yes.
And Russell has kind of kept that going. Like, the all-time master, Russell's baseball stuff also, the all-time master of these quarterback slide, and when he slides, he doesn't take hits. I mean, he does, but relative to running quarterbacks of the past, he's so wise about the give you the right shoulder, duck out of bounds, they're going to get two more yards. Here's my little baseball pop-up slide. I'm not going to take a hit here. And the new guys do that. Kyler does that. Lamar does that. Those guys, Mahomes, they get that. They do that. They stay healthy. Cam is a big running back, and he takes all those hits. And that just worries me as a season goes on, as he is not 21, but 31. So that's the, or I think that's his age.
Yes, he is.
Maybe he's less than that.
No, he is. He's 31.
I just worry about, then I was right. I just worry about that with Cam. So 2 weeks, I love it. I hope he stays healthy because it's fun ball to watch. It's good. It's different. They'll keep expanding that package as they go through the season. You know, Josh McDaniels and Belichick, you know, what are you going to get? You're going to get everything you didn't get last week. That's what you love about watching them play. Can he keep doing that for an entire season and stay healthy, running that power running game off the left guard, left tackle with the right guard pulling to try to score like he did on the last play last night? I hope he can keep going because, just like we were saying with the other deal, it's a blast to watch. It really is.
No doubt. And the aforementioned Rodgers is 2-0, visiting New Orleans for next week for Sunday Night Football. Just phenomenal. And then one to kind of put on your radar screen in form of our poll question is Philadelphia at San Francisco. Ask this question of Mike Tirico, a fellow Syracuse Orange, Chris Brockman. Ask it of Mike. Go for it.
Yeah, Mike, who's in the most trouble after 2 weeks? Eagles, Falcons, Texans, 49ers.
I'm pulling you into the sports talk radio morass, Mike. Most trouble through 2 weeks. Knee-jerk right. reaction. What do you got for me?
Long time, first time. I'll go of the teams you gave me, I'll go Eagles, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Texans just played the two best teams in the AFC, we think, and they'll play next Monday night, right, with the Ravens and the Chiefs. The 49ers injuries do concern me in their division. They concern me, but I still think that's a good football team. They will get some of those pieces back as we go through the next stretch here. Who's the other team that you threw in there?
We threw the Vikings, we threw 3-0-2, Texans, yeah. Vikings, Eagles, right. and then the Niners at 1-1 because of how right. significantly they suffered the injury bug yesterday.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to repeat as NFC champs. It's going to be hard because I think they're in the best division in the
no
league.
No doubt.
Because I think every snap of those NFC West games is like great TV.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vikings worry me. Their offense has not looked good. They've given up a lot of points and a lot of yards in these first couple of games. How much does Kirk Cousins and how much does the totality of that offense miss what Stephon Diggs does? It's like I watched Diggs go for, you know, his 8 for 150-something. I watched DeAndre Hopkins targeted 16 times week one, 8 catches week two in Arizona, and go, okay, I know Houston's got a lot of good receivers. They don't have the best or second best receiver in the league anymore. I know Minnesota's got good complementary, but they don't have a difference maker like Stephon Diggs has been for them. So you can't just replace those guys who require the extra attention. So Minnesota's close there, but the Philly thing doesn't feel all that good. The one advantage Philly has, Rich, mm-hmm. is the division. You know, Dallas doesn't look like they're a juggernaut. Obviously, without Saquon, Washington will be growing with their team. So you have two teams in the Giants and Washington Giants and football team, I should say, who don't feel like they're going to come back and be a juggernaut here during the season. So as long as Philly can kind of hold serve with Dallas, you're still going to have a window there in the NFC East.
You're the best, Mike. You are the best. Great job, as always, this weekend. I appreciate the phone call.
Anything for you. Good to catch up, man. Thanks, Say hi to your crew, and we'll be in touch soon, pal.
Right back at you. That's Mike Tirico. Only one guy can...
The best.
I mean, you know off the top of his head, Cam Newton's age, number of DeAndre Hopkins targets, and figure out how to design courses in the Bryson DeChambeau victory at the U.S. Open that he also covered. That's Mike Tirico just showing it off right there.
I actually like his idea for...
Yeah. Well, I wonder if did you get Fazio on line one or Jack on line two and just basically say this is the way, but you better make that rough thick because these guys don't care. If they're using the old 60-degree, let me just bulk up and just hack at it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right?
Matt Wolf hit a 9-iron 199 yards.
That's absurd. I mean, I don't even know.
If you golf, you know how absurd that is.
Did it make you want to go lift?
I'll tell you what.
Because watching golf makes you want to play golf.
Yep.
It shouldn't make you want to go hit the workout room.
Yeah, no. 2 hours.
And let me just say this real quick, and then we'll take a break.
I'm on a golf cart.
I know Mike is saying that it's exciting to watch, like, what's the next swing. I'm concerned that if this is the way golf is going, baseball has shown you walk, strikeout, home run. Analytics, when you use the analytics world to help out in the same way that DeChambeau is clearly using some analytics and physics and all of that stuff, mixing the science with the sports science. I just don't want it to be bomb, wedge, two putts. Bomb, wedge, putt. Bomb, wedge, putt.
Yeah, I don't want to see
that. You know what
either.
I mean? Like,
yeah,
in the same way that baseball, half the balls are not put into play.
Right.
And the other half leave the yard. I know I'm exaggerating. Shift this, shift that, take the start, have an opener instead of a starter. Those haven't been great for baseball. I don't know. I'm just be careful what is being uncorked in golf. But you still do have to put it in the hole. You still have to hit the green in a certain spot, and you still have to make the putt. Yeah. And you got to have that diamond between the temples, too. Because golf will make you crazy.
Oh, no doubt.
844-204-RICH, your phone calls and Chris Brockman's injury news update. So many to get to in the NFL. And the great This Day in History still to come in this hour. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. All right, welcome back to the show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's check on the poll question. Chris, what do you have over there, Christopher?
Yeah, looking at which team through 2 weeks is in the most trouble. Everyone said the Eagles. They are leading the way, 41%. Niners, 27%. Falcons, 18%. And Texans, 13%.
I have so many thoughts on the subject. We'll wait for the NBCSN audience to return. You'll do that again. And we'll take your phone calls at 844-204-RICH once again. TJ, you had to be bummed until the last minute of that game. You had to think that this thing was toast. You're 0-2, Cowboys 0-2. You're going to get a bunch of crap here, that you're concerned about your team.
I got real emotional on Twitter yesterday watching that game. I was ready to turn it off when it was 20.
And then the heavens opened up. I still don't know. Again, like, I guess in the same way, you know, my kids' school banned Fitbits
Banned Fitbits.
Yes, because isn't the one thing that you
the spinner you're thinking of.
Fidget spinner.
The Fitbit is for my work.
The fidget spinner, they banned it because I think it messes with their attention span.
Yeah, it's just
that's maybe why they stared at that onside kick.
This guy in chant.
Could have been that. I don't know. We're back here on NBCSN, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a second here. Chris, update the poll question, and we'll get to your news update, and we'll get to some phone calls here at 844-204-RICH. What do you have over there, Chris?
Yeah, after 2 weeks, we're overreacting a little bit. But who's in the most trouble in the NFL through 2 weeks? Eagles, 41%. 49ers, 27%. Falcons, 19%. Texans, 13%.
Yeah. Here's the reason why the Eagles are my choice. Wentz, I think, is going to start seeing ghosts if he can't get the protection required and if he can't set his feet and make these throws. And, you know, I'm genuinely concerned about that. Jalen Hurts sitting there. He's active. I mean, Joey Burrow coming in week 3. I guess they're lucky there's no fans there to start booing from the first snap, which is what would have happened yesterday quite a bit. Bengals coming in, and Joe Burrow going to throw 60 times, and he's getting hit in the chops. But the issue is that if Wentz needs to be sat and Hurts comes in, and Wentz has been signed to all this money, oh, boy. That opens up the old Box O Pandora in that town. And it can't help that Goff is looking, he's looking terrific. And they're dialing it up. And they got these youngsters, you know, like Higby, and you're wondering who's going to run the ball. Well, how about any of these three guys? I know Akers got hurt. I don't know if you got an update on him or he's not one that you got an update on. Or they were waiting for because we're here on the West Coast.
We're kind of waiting Akers.
I mean, that is the Rams, man. They're catching it. They're throwing it. They're blocking it. They're hitting you. They're young. Doesn't help that that's on the other side while you're quarterback taken right after him is beginning to struggle and regress. It's just 2 weeks, but that's why I'm saying they're most in trouble. Now, again, before we turn things to Chris Brockman as well, back in the day before this show, Mike, and I know you're a part of the podcast, and TJ, I know you've just only been part of the show since we were here. Mm-hmm. When we were just a mere podcast, Chris Brockman would, in his single days, come over to the house, and Susie would welcome him into the house, and we would give him meals, and he would hang out, and you know, meet a couple of the nannies, and and in terms of the meal, like that's one of the famous moments where you know he for Thanksgiving got Thanksgiving leftovers, and Susie gave him the Tupperware that he would take home and didn't return it, and I would basically say to him, hey, look, man, I don't need to be asked over and over again, where's the Tupperware? So just do me a favor and be just
give me the damn Tupperware back.
And, you know, like, just like, come on. And then he would he returned it around Hanukkah.
So bad.
Wrapped the top in Hanukkah wrapping gift paper and the bottom as well, and handed each one of them to my two kids who thought they were getting a real gift from Chris. Instead, it was the Tupperware for my wife. I mean, that's the guy who would come over to the house. And the reason why he occasionally would stop coming is because on Sunday Night Football, in particular, when it's time for young kids to get fed and bath and put them down, we would pause the game because I didn't want to miss anything.
Right.
Susie didn't want to miss anything.
Of course.
We just needed the 45 to 60 minutes to get things done in the house, and then we could be adults with the kids asleep. And that meant Chris would, A, not be able to watch, or B, get on, fill his time on his phone following along because he didn't want to have it spoiled.
Right.
So you stopped coming, right?
Well, you know, especially if it was a particularly sexy Sunday night, I was like, I'm just going to watch it at home.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
It wasn't offensive to you guys. It was just, you know.
So I got a text last night. As I told you earlier, I'm watching the game, and I look at, you know, my Twitter feed, and I'm like, that's right, the Western Conference Finals is going on, and I see it's a close game, and what a moment. I caught it live with my now don't need to go to sleep at 7 o'clock at night kids. Nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, when did you see that moment?
I didn't see it till 7:32.
And why is that, Chris?
Had to put Cage to bed. Dinner, bath, bed.
So you paused the game.
I paused both games.
Both games being paused in Chris Brockman's house as I live and breathe, Chris.
This is what I texted you. I said, just saw that AD game winner, and then in quotes, bath time has me behind like it's your house in 2013.
Great response, Chris. That's actually funny. I love that.
The new normal.
And to Chris's credit, he never voiced like a full-on complaint.
You just knew.
No.
But we
could sense like, really? Okay. No, I know that's the rules of the house. Yeah, I know what's going on.
I look at it. I'm in my early 30s. Like, it's fine.
But a little bit of the New England passive aggressivity would come out on occasion.
Like a lot of deep sighing.
I just find that amazing how life evolves for people. Yeah,
here we are.
So you missed it, but you saw it.
I mean, I missed it live.
I
had to keep the phone away until I was, you know, I couldn't catch up in case people were texting me about it.
I saw it live.
You know,
you didn't miss anything.
I thought the Nuggets had him. And then the Jamal Murray block.
Oh, it was incredible.
To lead to the inbounds play that for some reason, I mean, nobody fought through the screen for Anthony Davis.
I know.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Because LeBron was setting the screen.
Yeah, Chris and I had to talk in the back. And
he's a large man to set the screen.
He was talking about, you know, certain people on TV shows who have some weird obsession with LeBron and how they'll always try to discount him. And I was like, yeah, because Plumlee completely abandoned his defensive assignment because LeBron was standing there.
It was like LeBron was the insect lamp on the porch, and Plumlee
didn't
was
to get
the
zapped.
Bug.
Yeah, he didn't want to get
just zapped. Like ran right to it, like
a moth on the flame.
It was like he was on the Falcons hands team.
Yeah, good one. That's nice.
With an inexplicable reaction to what was the clear order of business as a defender,
LeBron's presence on that court completely made him lose his guy.
But Davis still had to make the shot.
Still had to make the shot.
Let's do it.
You know, 25-footer moving to his left. Great shot.
Great shot.
I'm like that. Man. I'm that guy.
Great shot.
You know?
So what does that make? Hold on a minute. That makes Denver now, what would that be? Oh, and I don't know what the record would be. They've won two games when not facing elimination.
Right,
that's
right,
it.
Right.
So they're now one game away from really getting started, or they kind of should get started.
You don't want to be behind 3-1 to the Lakers.
No.
They had them.
That was their best shot.
I don't know. I kind of get the feel like it's when J.R. Smith forgot the timeouts and like that was it. Like everything's going to change from here. But you can't say that about the Nuggets, man.
No. Never say die.
But it was amazing to watch live. Is my point.
I eventually got caught up. Eventually caught up on Sunday Night Football, like end of the third quarter.
I know. Finally it's tough. You're hoping for timeout so you can zip through the commercials.
I mean, I'm fast forwarding between plays.
I've been there, as you know.
I've witnessed.
And you never thought in those moments while you were waiting for Susie and I to get through what we had to get through so we could rejoin you as adults to enjoy the game that you'd ever be in this position in your life.
I would have bet on Chris being in the position, but
maybe, and so was I. Maybe he wouldn't at the time.
He would definitely not have bet on that position. No,
I didn't think that would ever be me.
All right, let's return to Chris Brockman's news update here in a very important let's see who's not injured edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever is Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, man?
All right, running down the just terrible injuries from yesterday's NFL. Giants running back Saquon Barkley, torn ACL. He is out for the season. Colts safety Malik Hooker for the third year in a row. Torn Achilles, he is out for the season. Broncos, they have got two big ones. Wide receiver Courtland Sutton tore his ACL. He is out for the season. Drew Locke sprained his AC joint. He's out 2 to 6 weeks. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, high ankle sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks. Sterling Shepard, still waiting MRI results on his injured toe, could miss upcoming games. Paris Campbell, Colts wide receiver, sprained MCL and PCL. No timetable, but he's going to miss some time, significant. Seahawks are fearing that Bruce Irvin, outside linebacker, tore his ACL.
Oh, come on.
And he might be out for the season. Still waiting word on Cam Akers.
I feel like you should be holding a sickle as you tell us these news right here.
Wicked bummer, man. Still waiting how long Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be out. He's got the high ankle sprain as well. Probably going to be in that 2 to 6 week range. Also, still waiting on Nick Bosa, fear that he has a torn ACL as well.
Christian McCaffrey said today, he spoke on a Zoom, the injury happened 4 or 5 plays before the touchdown. He scored that touchdown with a high ankle sprain.
Goodness.
Yesterday. Come on. And they say 4 to 6 weeks. Well, that's a challenge to me. Hopefully I can get back a lot earlier is what he said. I'll say this, man. I told you this before, and I'll say it again, putting it all together here. And that Bosa injury is significant, and we're hoping Jimmy G can come back for the Niners. As we know, Richard Sherman didn't even make the trip, nor did George Kittle, as the Niners are in serious health disarray.
Yeah.
But the Carolina thing, McCaffrey not being there, he has 50% of the touches. They're going to have to find something else to do.
Yeah, Mike Davis is the guy that came in to replace him. So
and I feel, again, can Teddy Bridgewater catch a break? It's his big opportunity here, and they're going to have to lean on him. You know, and he'll have to make some plays to some of these wide receivers that he's got. It's not like the cupboard's completely bare there. No. But I'll say this, with McCaffrey going down, and one of the things I said about the decision that Carolina made, they're going to have to own Cam Newton not being there anymore. And I said that at the time, not knowing where Cam was going to wind up or what he was going to look like where he wound up. And where he is New England, which knows exactly what to do with someone with his capabilities. And in terms of his capabilities, it looks like 2015 Cam has arrived in 2020 New England. And that is going to be also troublesome for Carolina as they go through however long it's out for McCaffrey at 0-2 in a division that you know is going to be out of reach fast. What else do you have over there, Christopher?
Let's hear from Bill Belichick. He talked today and answered a question about the final play of the game, what he saw.
Bill, on the final play with the offense on the goal line, what were you guys thinking in terms of decision-making? Obviously, I don't know. I wondered if, like, there's a level of thinking all the way back to the Super Bowl where, you know, the Seahawks threw the ball, whether you guys are trying to avoid a situation like that or just what was running through the coach's mind as they make the decision there.
About what you would think it would be. We had one play to score and we tried to go with what we thought was our best play. What else is there to think about?
So good.
Bill is not here for your narrative building.
I mean,
and trying to connect dots between this and Seattle's decision in Super Bowl 49. Bill is not here for that. Cam's their best play on the 1 yard line. All right?
Yeah, that's the best play.
It's not handing it to another running back with a blocking back.
That was the best play.
Right?
That was it.
And they already did the old jump pass earlier on, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The fact that they were in that position at all
was crazy.
I'm telling you, just to repeat what I said at the top of the show, in the Brady era, it was give the Patriots an opening and the door would be smacked wide open.
Done.
You give them an inch, they'd take the yard and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. And yet last night, when Seattle decided to throw it on short yardage instead of running it again, giving New England a total new lease on life, Cam marched right down the field.
Good, accurate.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Arm strength is there. And about the final play, the stat that I saw from Pro Football Focus, since 2010, 83 players have more than 20 rush attempts inside the five. The player with the highest TD rate, 69%, Cam Newton.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Peter in Texas has been waiting a long time. What's up, Peter?
Hello?
Yes, Peter, you're on. How are you? It's Rich.
Hi, Rich. I've been a big fan for years, and it's my first time calling, and I'm super excited. So
awesome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being had.
So I'm obviously in Texas. I'm a Cowboys fan. My dad's a Cowboys fan.
All right.
I did not feel good in the first 10 minutes, I'm going to be honest. The basically four fumbles did not make me happy.
It did not. Okay.
But I got to admire the resilience. I mean, you know, they were down 20 and then down 29 to 17, and somehow, some way, they came back. I think the onside kick still baffles me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get it when Greg Zuerlein laid the football on its side and then basically pushed it like he's curling or like he's shuffleboarding, and then no Falcon picked it up for 10 yards. I'm convinced that the hands team practiced recovering Young Ho's kick for so long, they forgot the fact that they needed to wait that they didn't have to wait 10 yards
just
when
get
they were
on
receiving.
It. Just get on it. I'm with you, and thank you for what you said, Peter, about the show, and call back. Just if you're a fan, keep calling back. They got John Fossil, Bones Fossil, here from the Rams staff, one of the best, most innovative special teams coaches in the business. And Zuerlein's from here, too. I'm sure that's something that they've been batting around for a long time. And I'm sure it's not the first time he's tried it either. Again, go and look at the video. The thing that is remarkable is how far it travels away from the point of the kick to the sideline without advancing very far up the field and then seeming to slow down once it hit 5 yards, and then it sped up and went straight up towards the 10-yard mark. It's amazing.
I've never seen anything like that.
I think there's not one but two Falcons right around that 5 to 7 yard mark that had any chance to just hop right on it, and they didn't. They just stared at it.
Yeah, there's like three of them.
Unbelievable.
Never seen anything like that.
But at some point, as you know, resiliency admiration is not enough. And you are the Dallas Cowboys built to win now. You score the 40 points before the last second and needing a miracle to have it happen.
We had no business winning that game.
But you did. That's all that matters. And that'll leave an aroma, as Michael Irvin. Maybe his best appearance in the history of this show. Of his dozens of appearances. We'll take a break. More phone calls. And then a very neat, inspirational, in my mind, this day in history to wrap us up here on this busy Monday. And then who's coming up this week? We got some good guests to tell you about.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be. The official partner of the NFL.
That's the lineup that we're right in the middle of. Thrilled to be. Brother from Another's coming up in 15 minutes. And then after the Holly Smith hours comes PFTPM. Mike Florio rejoins the Peacock streamer. During our commercial break, I looked down at my Twitter feed. John Heyman, who covers baseball for the MLB Network and more, just tweeted out, Mike, you and I are from the East Coast, so we're probably going to think the same thing. Aroldis Chapman's hearing to appeal a 3-game ban for throwing at Raves Mike Brousseau has been put off until next year due to an issue involving availability of witnesses.
What?
In an unrelated story, Goodfellas turned 30 over the weekend.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
They're gone. They're sleeping.
We're back on NBCSN right now. 844-204-RICH.
Are they in the freezer with Carbone?
We're on our quadcast right here. Let's go to David in Lancaster, California. What's up, David?
Thank you for taking my call, Rich.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
That was a great segment with Mike Tirico.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
He's always so knowledgeable with the golf.
Thank you.
But I wanted to ask you, with DeChambeau, haven't we seen this trick before in the 90s with John Daly? I mean, what's the difference between Daly and DeChambeau?
Okay.
He's just not smoking and he's not drinking. That's the only difference.
I guess so. This is about to say, first things first is I don't know how much of the workout room John Daly saw, but you also heard, and thank you for the call, man, as you heard what Mike Tirico had to say, there's a lot of science going into this. He's a physics guy, and I don't know if the only math that John did is if I got two tall boys here and two tall boys there, that equals four tall boys, you know? I mean,
if I buy another six,
right? Right?
If I smoke three heaters on the front nine,
if these are...
Well, I have a pack left.
If there are these many cigarettes in a carton...
Right.
Can I make this many rounds?
I understand that there have been long hitters before, but...
Not like this dude.
No. DeChambeau's figure... The thing that Tirico said is he figured out that a downhill slope putt into the certain type of flag stick that's in there does not benefit him to leave the stick in.
Right. That's one's thinking like that.
I heard that. I'm like, wow. Hadn't heard that one before, ever. This day in history. Let's just hit this before finishing up with some phone calls here today. This day in history, we all know what sports and sports' return means to so many of us. And we also know how sports leads the way for so many of us in terms of what's going on in society. Obviously, you've heard the Jackie Robinson story many, many times. Also, just recently, this country being struck by a pandemic and wondering, you know, how we quarantine, when we quarantine, how long we should quarantine for, how stringent the quarantine should be. And what led the way was sports basically saying, we're stopping. We're stopping. And this day in history is pretty damn special to me, being from New York City.
Yeah.
It was 19 years ago today that the Mets played the first home game sporting event in the city of New York after 9/11. Now, Shea Stadium and many other places, Yankee Stadium, were used for staging areas to try and stage for triage, also staged to send people into Manhattan, and Yankee Stadium was the site of a memorial. Shea Stadium was the site of the first game back. And the Mets were losing to the Braves because one of Staten Island's finest, John Franco, had given up a run. And thus the winning pitcher was another one of Staten Island's finest. Jason Marquis was pitching for the Braves. And then Steve Carsey from Flushing, New York, which is where Shea Stadium is, came into the game to try and hold the lead for the Braves. And with a man on, Mike Piazza stepped to the plate.
Lopez wants it away.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza and the Mets lead 3-2.
Take a look at this. He's got as much power as anybody. He got the arms extended. A long home run. And a curtain call.
Oh, God, I'm choking up. I'm crying. I'm literally choked up and crying. That's Howie Rose and Fran Healy with the call. And we were so scared. We were so scared in New York. New Yorkers were so scared that playing out and trying to return to normal life, who knows, could another terrorist attack hit? You remember a plane crashed
down right off
of LaGuardia. And we thought it could have been another terrorist attack.
Yep.
And we were all wondering, how can the Mets play next to an airport? How can the Mets play? How can we return to normal? How normal will it possibly feel? And it felt great. It felt great. And I know the Braves wanted to win that game, but what it meant for everybody, and you just hear the fans there, what it meant was so much. And Mike Piazza, forever, the Dodger coming to New York, forever, is woven into the fabric of New York sports. That was 19 years ago tonight. Also, just a memory of what we were together as a country. We all pulled together, all of us. All of us, when the Republican president went to the wreckage and said, "Well, the world's going to hear from all of us soon." Nobody thought that's a Republican president. Nobody. It's an American president. If we could just somehow capture those moments, and again, sports leads the way. And man, you told me today, hey, it's the 19th anniversary. I did not know, and I'm like, we got to do something about it today. Didn't think it would literally affect me this emotionally until we. It really just came right over me.
The first football after 9/11.
Oh, of course. And of course, you know, the Yankees going to that World Series, and I covered it in Arizona, and there was an airport near Bank One Ballpark too. And then of course when Bush threw out that first pitch, I was in Yankee Stadium that night and just looking at SWAT teams on the roof. It was so nerve wracking. Oh man. All right. Nathan in Los Angeles has been waiting over 2 hours. What's up, Nathan?
How you doing, Rich? And I appreciate you bringing us that memory because it kind of puts into perspective what we're talking about today. We're talking about injuries, and it was a rough day for the league yesterday. But compared to what you just brought up,
No. Please go ahead. No.
I don't want to dismiss what I'm about to say. I just
No, Nathan. It's my job to turn the page from one step to another. Not you as a caller, but please, what's been on your mind at all? Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I came in today. You know, this time a week ago, I found myself struck by the thought of, wow, how did the league manage to go relatively unscathed with regard to injury, because there's almost always week one injuries. Even when there isn't a COVID-related no preseason, there's no injuries. And then yesterday hits, and we all get hit. Everybody gets hit.
No doubt.
And my thoughts, I was going to talk about my Giants, as you know, and Saquon, but a previous caller handled that. My other thought with that, though, is I don't think there is a more singularly important player that any team has lost other than Saquon to the Giants. McCaffrey.
I'll be honest with you. Bosa to San Francisco is that injury. Bosa could be his defensive player of the year. Great. And the fact the fact that Solomon Thomas went down too, the fact that they were able to trade DeForest Buckner away to Indianapolis is because Bosa was there. And that's their, if you will, big toe on defense. By the way, Bill Murray's birthday today. But, yeah,
my other thought about it is that you think about Barkley and Bosa, two second-year players who, by all evidence, are, planting the seeds on a Hall of Fame career. You just wonder. I mean, they're young guys. Medicine's where it is. They may be able to return to their careers. But for two guys this young and this on the cusp of careers that are clearly going to be great.
Right.
You just wonder.
Thanks for the call, Nate. Appreciate it. That's Nathan in Los Angeles. Good point. The Barkley's in year three, but year two of what we would have hoped for was a full year.
Yeah,
he hardly had any year last year. I want to thank today's guests, Eli Manning, Steve Keim, The Playmaker, Michael Irvin, Mike Tirico. Check everything out right here on Peacock. If you missed anything, our YouTube page is also white hot to the touch, youtube.com/RichEisenShow. Tomorrow's show, Leonard Fournette of the Bucks will join us. Mikayla Shiffrin, the 2-time Olympic champion, 5-time world champion, will join us. That's any Olympic champion is an anytime guest here on the Rich Eisen Show. And also, it's the anniversary of Full Metal Jacket.
Ooh.
Matthew Modine will join us.
Oh, yes.
I drag a fellow Knick fan into the Dolan wormhole? Talk about a joker. Private joker.
Private joker.
I'll go all private pile on the Dolan wormhole once again. That'll be fun. Final poll results over there, Christopher. What do you have?
Yeah, in the most trouble through 2 weeks of the National Football League, guys, Philadelphia Eagles, 41%.
And where did the Vikings fall on that?
We didn't add the Vikings. They're not on the poll. But
oh, no, I thought they were.
No, Falcons, Texans, Eagles, 49ers.
Oh, I thought 40, that's right. We didn't even have the Vikings on the poll.
Yeah.
Took me 3 hours to realize that.
They're in big trouble.
My bad.
The Vikings. Who you got tonight?
Oh, I'll take the Saints tonight.
All right.
Didn't even bring that up. If the Saints win, then Mooch and the Playmaker go 16-0 on their picks this week. See you Tuesday, everybody.
Peace.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
I'm starting this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.